Now you can find, listen and subscribe to Chilling with Jens and the local Danfoss Climate Solution podcast in your RevTools app. Download it from danfoss.com, service and support, downloads. Hi, I'm Jens Andersen from Danfoss Climate Solution. Thank you for listening in on this episode where I'll more or less invite myself to a visit to the Danfoss Smart Store, the Danfoss ADC, which stands for Application Development Center, and we'll come back to what that is later. I'm on my way to visit Einar Luckmann, who is the technical manager of the Smart Store, and to have a chat about the store itself and the technical visions brought to life at this site. Thank you, Einar, for taking your time to present us for this smart store supermarket. Could you please give us a definition of what this is?
Yeah. Yes, first of all, welcome to the Danfoss Smart Store Application Development Center. And this is a live supermarket where we also are able to present all our technology. And it's technology from small stores to large stores, from cold climate to warm climate. We have all the technologies you could imagine. The store is just a small discount store. It's an open for the public. So the most important part for us, for me, is to keep all the goods cold while we, of course, can test. We are showcasing products which are available for the market. That means that we do not have any half-baked cookies in here. We have products which are available for the market or are very, very close to a release to the market. So, available for everyone. We can bring customers from all over the world since we have technologies which can be used for small stores, for large stores, and again for cold climate and hot climate. And in a normal supermarket like this, the machinery room would be around 12 square meter. We have 240 square meter. That means 20 times bigger. And someone could say, what a waste of space. But actually, it's because we have more technology in here than would normally be used in a supermarket, as I said earlier. We also have two refrigeration packs CO2. One which is a standard, which is specified by the co-op, and the other one is the advanced system where we have all our different technologies. So a live supermarket with all that, I would say, the whistles and bells we can show, which is available to the market, and we can bring customers in here and have a great dialogue with them what makes sense for their area.
Einar, you have this great graphic next to you right now. It's a server that says monitoring and management. Could you please explain?
Yeah, we have a number of different applications in the store, which we also see in many stores around the world. We have 100 kilowatt of solar panels on the roof. We have two refrigeration systems, the standard refrigeration system and the advanced one. We can run one at a time. That means that we have a backup system when we want to upgrade one of the systems. Of course, we have the cabinets and cold rooms in the supermarket itself. We have connection to the electrical grid, which where we can buy energy, electrical energy, and sell electrical energy. We are also connected to the district heating system. That means that we can buy energy from district heating, but we can also sell energy back to the district heating grid. And that means in summertime, where we have excess heat, which is normally sent out to the birds, we can sell that instead. We also have a ground loop, which is special for our area, because we are using our refrigeration system also as a heat pump. And that means that we can produce all the heat needed for this building by the refrigeration system. And if we are not having enough load on the cabinets, the rooms itself, we can use this ground loop to take out heat from the ground and through the refrigeration pack, and thereby we can create a lot of energy or heat energy. We have a number of components for hydronic balancing, which is typically used in heating systems. We have a car charger there's a, by law, there need to be a car charger, but we have also prepared for a fast charger. And when we're looking at the transformer for the whole building here, we have the supermarket and we have the Danfoss part in one building. And the transformer for this is 350 kilowatt. And then we have prepared also with a transformer for a fast charger. And that means if I could afford a Porsche Taycan, that car would take more power than the whole building here running peak when I'm charging, or with, when I'm charging this car. And that means a day where when all of us are driving electrical cars, there will not be sufficient energy, at least here in Denmark, to charge all of the cars at the same time. And that means that we will need to be able very, very rapidly to unload or offload power all over the industry to ensure that the whole electrical grid is not breaking. And this is what we will see in the future, that we within seconds will need to be able to activate or deactivate power. But we also need to be able to look at a longer horizon. And so if there's a scarcity of electricity, perhaps in 1.5 days, we should be able to buffer up if it's a battery, if it's reducing or having a lower temperature in the low-temp cold room, and using those as a buffer, but trying to utilize the building itself and all the equipment we have in the building as a buffer. We also do have comfort cooling, which we can do. We have storage tanks, hot water, cold water. We have a heat recovery unit, which is a very important part of this. And then, of course, we have the light and HVAC control. It's extremely important if we have to optimize these energy streams that we have all these different parts connected. And this is really the future. Not just having the different parts connected inside the store, but also having access to data on the cloud solutions. What is the pricing of a certain energy? And when does it make sense to buffer, and when do we need to deactivate? So system integration will be extremely important going forward.
Aina, you were mentioning this heat recovery unit. Could you please explain a bit more about that?
Yes, the heat recovery unit is a unit that Danfoss has built. We have seen that there's big difficulties for the heating guys and the refrigeration guys to understand each other. And to get most out of, most heat out of the refrigeration system into the heating system, Danfoss have built this heat recovery unit, which is more or less the bridge between these two systems. So in a very easy way, we can connect the heat recovery unit and take out all excess heat from the refrigeration system. We can also run the refrigeration system as a heat pump, so we can produce more heat in wintertime by increasing the pressure. In summertime, normally there's already a high pressure because of the high ambient temperature. So to say it a little bit practical, what we are doing in wintertime to create heat, we are running the refrigeration system in summer mode in wintertime. And because we have this extra ground loop, we have a lot of heat we can take out of the ground by means of the refrigeration system, and we can send that extra heat into the heat recovery unit. Should there be a need for extra heat more than the refrigeration system is needing, then we can also have the heat recovery unit. It will automatically then start up to buy heat from the district heating. And in summertime, when there is excess heat, which there normally is because we are not using any heat for heating up the building in summertime, obviously, and we do have a high temperature because of the high ambient temperature, then we can sell this excess heat to the district heating. And instead of sending heat out to the birds, which we can see in many, many, many supermarkets around the world, where all that heat is just wasted, we can reuse it. And this is what at least makes a lot of sense, and we can see this being used more and more, at least here in Denmark, where we have district heating systems.
You mentioned this difference between the two businesses, heating and cooling. We know it's two different
educations, first of all, maybe two different schools, I don't know. But what you're saying is actually that we should actually prepare sort of for the future to merge these two, or how do you see that?
I'm not sure if we should merge it, but at least we need to have a common understanding how to optimize a complete system. When you're talking about a supermarket here, we have a ventilation system, we have heating system, and of course we have the refrigeration system. And here we have, the refrigeration contractors, and we have the heating contractors. And as I see it, it seems like two different species. They have different ways of optimizing, and when we are combining these things, it's about finding the compromise between heating and cooling, and that's at least the learning we have here. It's not probably not the refrigeration way, and it's not the heating way. It is the compromise to get most out of the complete system, and for Danfoss, it's really a lot of learnings for the different parts, for the different R&D areas, that we now learn from each other and we are able to optimize even further. I think we have I know we have a really good attempt with the heat recovery unit, but I believe there's still a lot more to do. Looking into how we are optimizing return temperature from a heating system to get the highest performance, the highest COP out of the refrigeration system. If we want to produce a heat by the refrigeration system, the refrigeration system should not be running with the highest possible refrigeration COP. It has to be running with the highest possible heating COP. So suddenly we have to change between a heating COP and a refrigeration COP. And these are learnings we are gaining here, and that will be going into the product development and also optimizing our different systems. But again, to be able to see all these things and optimize all these things, meters, a number of meters, if it's heat meters, if it's glycol meters, if it's electrical meters and submeters, all these are extremely important. And it's important that we can dig into data from all systems and have in one overview. So again, digitalization plays an extreme big role here. The whole system integration of these systems is what is needed to be able to do these optimizations. And also what was said earlier, the next step, having a cloud-to-cloud solution so we can get information about pricing of energy and thereby being able to optimize energy streams in the best ways. This is what I see is the adventure going forward, what we have to work on heavily as an industry over the next years.
There is a theme that goes through what you are saying, and that is energy and energy flow, energy consumption, energy savings, et cetera, all about energy. Are we going to, have the trade look a bit more into the energy side of things? Do you see that, or is it?
It's of course about energy, but it's about the cost of energy. And it could be that we sometimes want to spend more kilowatt hours to save energy cost. I said earlier that we can use our refrigeration system as a heat producer, as a heat pump. So if we have extra energy from the solar panels, perhaps excess energy, instead of selling it back to the electricity company at a very, very low price, perhaps it would make sense to produce heat to the district heating, where the price is higher for that energy and where we can offset. That means that we would spend more energy to save energy cost. So it's not just about saving energy in kilowatt hours, but it's really to utilizing energy when it's at the lowest price. And we do see energy pricing being all over the place, with more and more renewable energy, if it's windmills, if it's solar panels, or if it's water from other countries, then it could be that sometimes there is too much energy and we need to buffer it up. And that can have an extra cost because there's a little bit loss when we're doing a buffering up. But at the end, it's about optimizing the energy streams to control the energy streams and to have the lowest cost of energy. I think that's what it's about. So again, integration, digitalization also will play a extreme important role going forward.
Aina, this is an application development center. On top of a supermarket, of course. But Aina, are there any learnings that you have sort of, that you could maybe bring forward as a thing that, that we have gained knowledge on?
Yeah, we do have a lot of meters and sub-meters, and that is necessary if we want to optimize the system also to see where are we spending energy and what is the influence of optimizing. And one example is on the low-temp cabinets. We have four groups of low-temp cabinets, just when we opened the supermarket, we did have issues with moisture on the glasses, and normally, in many of these refrigerated display cases, there's a rail heat anti-sweat heater, and this anti-sweat heater was running with a certain amount of the duty cycle, was controlling the energy out at, or the capacity of that heater. And when we had that issue, we asked the contractor to look into it, and what he did, he put all the controllers. We have the AKCC 55 case controller, which is controlling rail heat. He put all the rail heat at 100%, minimum rail heat 100% all the time, and left and said there's nothing more he could do, and that was also correct. That was what he could do. And when the humidity level was decreasing here in the autumn, I started looking into it. And because I have an electrical meter on the low-temp cabinets and another for the medium-temp cabinets, and in total I think we have 50 meters across electrical meters, heat meters, and so forth. But we have electrical meter on these low-temp cabinets, and when I looked at it, I tried to put the rail heat at zero and back at 100% and back at zero, and could see that the energy consumption was 2.6 kilowatt just for rail heat on those four group of cabinets. And again, it's a discount store, small store. 2.6 kilowatt, when you're multiplying that by 24 and again multiplying by 365, you would have the energy consumption per year when you're running 100% versus zero. And the energy consumption when running 100% is 22,776 kilowatt hours. And now I started testing on it. We do have a humidity control we are controlling based on dew point. And my goal is to save half of that energy to the rail heat. Because in wintertime or in our area, this is the period where the dew point, where the relative humidity is very low. We are calculating dew point by means of our system manager and distributing all that information to the case controllers. Then we can actually save a lot of energy. We are running minimum 30% because you cannot run a 0%. There is a minimum, and in these cabinets, 30% seems to be the right level. What we also can see is when we are running 30% versus 100% rail heat, the energy consumption just to the refrigeration rack is 15% lower running 30% rail heat versus 100% rail heat. So it's not just the energy consumption for the rail heat you have to pay for. It's also the energy consumption, extra energy consumption to the pack. You are paying double to get rid of that energy again. And there's a lot of supermarkets where I don't think they are really aware. Yes, we have known for many years that this is something we should just do, and we are doing. But it seems that in many, many supermarkets, this has not been optimized correctly or is not optimized. And have there been one issue where there were moisture and the contractor put it at 100%? Very often it's there, it's sitting there for many, many years and not being optimized back again. Also here, the digitalization comes in place, where we have our Alsan software and we can monitor all the different supermarkets around and then we can look into these things and ensure that the settings are at least not being tuned in the wrong direction. And this is just one example. We have a lot of different examples that we are testing, ventilation system, heating system, and the refrigeration system, and trying to optimize all these between them. So it's not a lot of magic, it's just to do it. But when you have a complete fleet of supermarkets, a complete chain, with hundreds of supermarkets, it's a lot of data you have to look into, and that has to be automated, because no one person can monitor this himself without, I would say, a monitoring and management system. So, this is a journey we are on. We are learning here, and hopefully many of these optimizations will go into our products as default settings, so when a customer buys a Danfoss product, they are already optimized from factory. That's at least my goal. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Great. That's great insight. But I can also see more and more common face sort of lurching around the corner. The artificial intelligence.
And this is definitely also what is worked on in our Alcens team, because there's a lot which can be done with it. Again, it's also back to having the application understanding. You really need to know what's going on hands-on also to know what's going on. Of course, you can look at pattern and you can do a lot of things. I would say many of the things we are doing is really not rocket science. It is to do it. But there are other things which is pretty sophisticated, like our adaptive defrost, where it automatically can detect if there's ice on the coil or not. And these are things we are also optimizing at the moment. But that can be in a different story, perhaps at a different time, Jens.
Yeah, that's a story on its own. Thank you so much, Einar. That was a pleasure to have another talk with you. I'm sure we'll talk again pretty soon, I'm sure. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening in on this podcast. I hope you also saw the contours of what the near future will bring within not too long, and basically what is coming towards you within a few years. Thank you so much, and stay cool.